it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, man, your football Fridays are always fun when we get B. Scott in the studio. B. Scott from Hiram Clark joining us. And I just wanted to give you a little bit of a programming note before I hand things to B. Scott here and we can get his thoughts. The football Friday will be even football-y and Friday-er. When you catch up with the fellas of the drive, they'll be at BB's right there off of 99 and Katy. Go out and see them. Go out and get your commemorative pint glass this week. It'll have
these guys,
John Lopez, Figgy Fig, and my faces on it. But also at 2:30, you'll be able to hear from Daniil Hunter jumping on with the fellas. So I believe it through 2:30 or whenever you're able to get him off of the practice field.
Yeah.
Sometimes that can vary. But Daniil Hunter should be joining the fellas. And I want to hear B. Scott's thoughts on that and whatever else he's got.
Yeah, so in the spirit of Football Friday, I'm really thinking about it. Reggie, you'll really appreciate this. All of us will.
I was like, what did I do?
But like, because it's a little football nerdy, if you will. But I'm really interested to see how this Texans offense responds to such an underwhelming effort against the Rams on the road and how it looks at home. But against a very, very worthy opponent on the defensive side of the ball. Just in terms of how they attack you, mm-hmm. I was looking back at some of the coverage of the Bucs-Falcons opener and some of the things that the Falcons ran into, the issues that the Falcons ran into with the Bucs defense. And you could say it's a kind of a chicken or the egg thing. Like, was it their approach
mm-hmm.
or was it the Falcons that me saying their approach? Or was it the actual Bucs defense itself? Or was it just both? But the Falcons intentionally did more between the tackles because for whatever reason they thought that that's what they could exploit. The Falcons have Bijan Robinson, who's great with stretch plays, an athletic beast. If you followed him through Texas and obviously his career so far with Atlanta, like the dude's kind of a mm-hmm. physical freak, right? And they probably do better, and at least in that offense, they like to run a lot of stretch plays. But in this instance, mm-hmm. they tried to run between the tackles a little bit more, and every time they did it, there was a tell with how they shaded the tight end, the Bucs linebackers and their mm-hmm. safeties were able to basically follow wherever this tight end went was where
the run
play was essentially going to go. And for the most part, Tampa Bay was able to sniff that out a great deal. And the only time that they didn't, the Falcons ended up having a really good play, and it got called back on a penalty. Like the one time that they solved the riddle, yeah. they ended up getting it called back on a penalty. So I say all that to say, like, are we going to see
it's a Nick Chubb day is what you're saying.
It's a Nick Chubb day, but is it Nick Chubb between the tackles? Mm-hmm. Is it more of a stretch run play? And I have not done the research to see how much the Texans actually ran between the tackles versus stretch. I would imagine since it was a lot of Nick Chubb.
It was a lot of in the tackles.
It was
actually
a lot in the tackles.
This is very much – it's funny that you mentioned this because I was doing a lot of looking at this on Wednesday, weirdly enough. But, yeah, the Texans so much running in between the tackles compared to last year, which was obviously a lot of outside with the outside zone stuff that they were doing. Still, you had some, like, some inside zone that was mm-hmm. happening still, even with some of the duo that they were having, but it was a lot inside the tackles.
So this is what I'm getting at. The Texans clearly want to run between the tackles with Nick Chubb and this new offense that they got. Mm-hmm. Want to establish this physical brand of football, this new style, and all of this kind of stuff under Nick Caley. The Bucs, notably,
yeah.
are very good at defending the run specifically between the tackles. And so what's going to give? Feels like something's got to give. Do they try to run a little bit more stretch with Nick Chubb? We've already heard them talk about maybe feeding Nick Chubb more so than they did
yeah.
in the previous game with the running back by committee thing. But also in my mind, I'm like, I like Woody Marks a little bit better mm-hmm. on some of these stretch plays.
That's exactly where I was going.
So I'm interested to see how they play it. Because I kind of got my ideas of how they should. Like, I feel like there should be more Woody Marks, less Damian Pierce, less Dari Ogunbowale, and do your between-the-tackle stuff mostly with Nick Chubb. Do your stretch stuff mostly with Woody Marks, and let that be, for the most part, your running back rotation unless somebody gets injured or is extremely tired or whatever the case may be.
Mm-hmm.
So how do they play that is one of the things that I'm really going to be monitoring.
it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm with you, and I think I'm with you in terms of you know the rotation. A lot of Nick Chubb. I would love to see Woody Marks. The boys in the morning were saying the same thing as the number two guy. Are you there too? No more Damian Pierce. Hell, Sean even said maybe even don't make him active.
Yeah. Oh well, I don't know about not making him active just because you know the. How perilous, you know, how fragile the yeah. position can be, right?
Like
yeah,
it can car be, crash sport.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's a car crash sport. So I would like to at least have somebody that has some experience active. But I will say, I reluctantly agree. Mm-hmm. I hate to be in this place. I don't want to be in this place. I want to be where Andre Ware was a year ago. I want to be in the space of. I don't need him to be the same guy that he
Not
was,
even
Andre.
That.
I don't need
Not
him to be. I just need him to be a reliable spell back, yeah. like a reliable option. Second or third option, and I don't know if they actually have that. I'm not trying to say that Damian Pierce was awful. Him dropping that pass was not a very good look, but it does feel like wasted downs.
Yeah,
it feels like wasted downs when you give him the ball and when you design plays for him, especially late in the game, like mm-hmm. the Pierce Agumba Wale stuff. This is nothing against either one of them.
Why really. Are they on the field?
Why are they on the field, and why do they feel like first options on plays mm-hmm. on gotta have it drives and gotta have it plays when it's nut cutting time? I don't get that part.
I feel like I can give you a better answer on the latter question than the former. Well, I guess the former I get to, at least with Dare, is, well, it's a passing down, so he's the passing down back. That yeah. seems like that's pretty evident to get to. Should he be?
Yeah.
That's a question.
I don't get it.
Now, with the other one, which what was the latter question again? I didn't talk myself.
Why are you getting the ball when it's nut cutting time?
Oh, yeah. Well, some of that is just CJ is going through his progressions really, really fast, and then he gets to that check down real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. That was one of the things that felt like watching the passing plays. I went and watched all the passing plays more in service of trying to see how and when they could have gotten Nico the ball.
Yeah.
But I was like, oh, wow, he is. Some of the times he was not getting to Nico was because he was going 1-2, like 1-2-3, yeah. and then boom, like, let's get this out. And I do wonder if that slows down a little bit. We were talking about that earlier this mm-hmm. week. If he maybe slows down, especially in his, all right, let's see for extra beat if I can get this ball there. But all of that seems like it's also a factor of how much does CJ trust this offensive line, because it didn't feel like he had much of the trust early on in week one.
Yeah, no, it definitely didn't seem like it. Even though I didn't feel like the offensive line was terrible, specifically in pass pro, I didn't feel like they were terrible.
No, but it didn't matter if it was actually. It mattered what was going through his brain.
Yeah, no, right. Well, then that's what I'm saying. Like, the reality, the perception and the reality weren't necessarily the same from what I could tell. Now, who knows how much CJ would be validated in that both off of their previous performance last year, and if you just want to isolate it to the new-look offensive line, the fact that they weren't always great even yeah. in training camp, even yeah. in the times and since he's been with these guys. But it does bring me to, like, the point that you're making, bring me to, without trying to oversimplify, because I think you did a good job of explaining the nuance there of maybe why we didn't see as much Nico Collins and him, you know, kind of check down Charlie in the, mm-hmm. the game a little bit. They got to unleash this guy, man. Like, without oversimplifying it and at the risk of oversimplifying it, Matthew Stafford spread the ball around pretty good, but you know who still found the ball? Guys like Puka Nacua and Davante Adams. They didn't spread the ball around at the risk of not finding matchup problems for those guys. And so, like, as a play caller, as a designer in Nick Caley, and then as a quarterback who has to execute the play call and design in C.J. Stroud, and as y'all were talking about earlier in the show, as somebody who's been given extra authority yeah. and vision and all of these other things to be allowed to dictate at the line of scrimmage of what these plays are going to look like, they've got to figure that out. Like, for me, if you're looking at the Texans, like, just juxtapose the Texans and the Rams for a second. The Rams look like they had a little bit more of a supporting cast around whoever you want to call their number one guy, whether that's Davante Adams or Puka Nacua.
Mm-hmm.
The Texans, absent of Christian Kirk, absent of Braxton Berrios, and absent of their starting offensive line, they didn't seem like they had a whole lot of options outside of Nico Collins and a little Hutch here and a little Dalton Schultz there. Yeah. Like, you cannot afford to, if this is what your offense looks like right now, personnel wise, to allow the other team to take Nico Collins out of the game, especially the type of player that he is.
Well, he's going to get a lot of looks. I don't know how many, you know, they're going to be able to convert. By the way, just a real quick side note. I was just looking it up. Luke Goedeke, like you said, doesn't look like he's going to play. That means one Charlie Heck is going to step in.
Oh, good for Charlie.
At right
tackle. I've heard of that name.
Yeah. How about that? So just a little note there, very familiar face here. No, but he's right. And I know you've been looking at me like you got something important to say, so I can't wait.
I don't know how important it is.
He gave me the, just looking, the head up, looking down look.
Yeah, no, that's just how my brain works where I go.
Everything that Reggie says is important.
You know when you tilt your head back and you look down?
You know what it really is?
You got something important to
say?
Lay that importance on us, Reg.
You know how you go when your brain is like, or when you're like, I need to sneeze, and your head naturally goes up? My brain does that with, like, thoughts. Yeah. Okay. I'm like, I got to hold this.
You can see the thought bubble formulating in his head.
So I'll keep it as tight as possible. Hey, this truly is to just kind of funnel it down into one thought. You got to let – are you going to let CJ let it rip?
Well, yeah,
Reginald Atatula is typing. I can just see that in the
I'm
chat.
I'm glad
right now.
You said that, John Lopez, because the question I was going to throw to you guys is, at what point does CJ Stroud put the bass in his voice to where he just goes, bleep whatever y'all are letting me do? Because we have a lot of conversation.
You
got to
let him let it rip sometime.
Well, we've had a lot of conversation about, oh, there's more responsibility. He has more free reign. But at what point does he start doing, and I know this name isn't one you want to bring up, but Aaron Rodgers stuff where he just goes at the line, leave it, this is where we're running.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, actually, you know what? This is the call play from the sideline.
Don't listen to them.
Run that nine right quick. Nico, run that nine right quick.
Maybe not in the first or and hopefully more so in the second game, but I could see it not being in the first couple of weeks of just now regaining this quote unquote power, if that's what we want to call it. Like, we talk about how CJ Stroud used to do it like this. Well, used to was a long time ago. Mm-hmm. Like, he's been in the league now. This is his third season. So for the past two seasons of him playing football, this has not been a thing that he does.
Yeah.
So readjusting and getting used to this again, to this part of it again, I think there's going to be a learning curve, and there's going to be a process here. But at the same time, I didn't feel like CJ Stroud had maybe three, four plays that you might want to have back in this game. But by and large, I thought he was fine. I thought that for the most part, it was a combination of things. Not having your full plethora of weapons. Always, like, the one step forward, two step back of the penalties. Like, the penalties were a major issue for them. C.J. Stroud a lot of times got them out of, like, when the penalties would hurt drives, C.J. Stroud a lot of times would fix it. But then,
is that in the bag?
But then there's the pick that, you know, I didn't necessarily agree was a pick. But it was a pick nonetheless, right? And so, like, you had a lot of that, of C.J. Stroud bailing him out, and then not too long after he bailed him out, up there's a play that he wants to have back. Mm-hmm. So everything needs to kind of come together for them.
Man, B. Scott's thoughts. There's a number of things that I'm going to search a little bit deeper on. I don't know if you could see me, fellas, as I was actively going through the next-gen stats, trying to get some more insight on something, because that running inside-outside thought is such an interesting one, because that feels like it's going to be a real test of how your game plan on offense actually is.
Yep.
Are you going to do the tried and true, or are you going to go to where the early instances of the numbers might point to?
Yeah, I want
to
see it. I want
to
see it.
Interesting. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, we'll keep going with B. Scott, get to what's popping, including this feels like it's going to be a real fun weekend in the sports world. I'll tell you why next.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.